Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Again, these are God's words. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So Jesus, the scriptures teach us, Philippians chapter 2, that because he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself to take the form of a bondslave, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself even to the point of death, and that on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. And so the Gospel of Matthew, having led up Jesus announcing the kingdom, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, there's this greater focus even than in the other Gospels on Jesus announcing the kingdom and bringing in the kingdom by his death and resurrection. So he spent all that time preaching that he would bring in the kingdom, and then he brought in the kingdom. And now at the very end of the gospel, he says, "I have brought in the kingdom." Well, in order to have a kingdom, you have to have a king. He is the one whom the kingdom is all about whom the kingdom is, all about whom the kingdom is. So he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now the question is, what are you going to do with that authority? And what Jesus does with that authority is he builds his church. But he doesn't build his church out of great stones that are quarried and cut way out at the rock quarry and then hauled up to Jerusalem. God and Solomon know how. Until the great stones that the disciples... Actually, those weren't even as great as the ones of Solomon. They were talking about Herod's temple. But Jesus builds his church out of living stones. And that means people like all of you around this table. Jesus, when he receives all authority in heaven and on earth as his just reward, his earnings for his life and death and resurrection, he uses that authority to take you and form you into his church. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that an amazing thing when you look and you see, oh, how is Jesus using all authority in heaven and on earth? He's using it to make disciples, and he uses disciples to make disciples. And he has them do two things. One is baptize, and the other is teach. Notice that baptizing is a way that disciples are made here. In verse 19, it is not something. It is not something that is something the disciple does. It is something that is done to the disciples, baptizing them, just as teaching them is something that is done to those who are being made disciples. Baptism was a sign and a seal that set someone apart as belonging to a group, and especially belonging to a member of a group. And so being baptized into Jesus Christ is something that we see repeated over and over again in the New Testament. And here it is baptizing them into the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And Cassidy answered exactly correctly. It's into the name singular. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is not three names. It is the one name of the triune God who has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus comes and he identifies himself as God the Son, or the Son of God. And he is the revelation of the Father. And he has and is full of in his humanity when he takes upon himself humanity. He is full of the Spirit by whom the Son and the Father, the Son as the expression of the Father, and then the Spirit as the one by whom the Father and the Son work. not only in Jesus' life, but also in the lives of every believer. The Lord Jesus gives his Spirit to every believer. And so this baptism into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit includes the pouring out of water, just like the Lord Jesus pours out his Spirit upon everyone whom he is making a disciple. And that's important because we can't become disciples. We can't observe all that Jesus has commanded us, even if we are taught to. We cannot do that except by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so the first thing is this sign, the sign that you belong to the triune God who has redeemed you in his Son and who is sanctifying you, who is growing you as a disciple by his Spirit. Your baptism announces to you that you no longer belong to yourself, that you belong to another. It announces to you who is the one who has loved and chosen and decided to take you for himself, the Father. It announces to you who is the one who has redeemed you, who has paid for your sin, who has earned your blessing, to whom you are joined for your salvation, the Son. And it announces to you the one who applies Christ to you, who works this union with Jesus out in you, the Spirit whom the Son has poured out. Now, all of you have been baptized because you have been set apart by God in his church, as members of his church. We know from the beginning of the Bible that the people of God are not just the parents, but also the children, that the mark of the covenants of God is put not just on the parents, but also the children. And so when God gives a child to someone who is in his church, he looks at that child and he commands his church to put the mark of God's covenant on that child, because it is a way of God saying from heaven, this one is mine. That's why a baptism is exactly the opposite of a dedication. A dedication is parents saying, this one was ours, but we dedicate him to you, Lord, you can have them. Baptism is saying, this one is mine, and I command you to bring him up as mine. So you are under obligation unto God. He has marked you, even in a greater and different way than all those children who are outside his church. You are more obligated to God than they are, for he has put his special sign on you, and in that sign he has shown you that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how he redeems you. This is why when Paul is in Ephesus, and there are some folks who have just been taught by Apollos, and we know that it took a while for Apollos to iron out his doctrine, and he asks them if they have heard or if they have received the Holy Spirit, and they say, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit, he says, into what then were you baptized? Were you not baptized into the name, singular, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Were you not taught that you must trust in the Son who was given by the Father as you are enabled to do so by the Spirit? Okay, so baptizing them is the first main way here that Jesus commands them to make disciples. The second main way is teaching them. So sacrament and word. We often say word and sacrament, but here the order is sacrament and word. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. A baptized person, someone who has been set apart to Christ, who has been identified with Christ, does not get to be their own person. They must be Christ's person. They do not get to pick and choose which of Jesus' commandments they like and which ones they can do without. No, they are to be taught and they are to observe all the things that Jesus has commanded. Thankfully, as we have already been noting and talking about the baptism signs and seals not only that you are under obligation to Jesus because he has all authority in heaven and on earth and has commanded that you be marked into his name, but baptism also contains within it the promise of the help of Jesus and the power of Jesus. given to you by his Spirit. And so baptism doesn't just say, you're mine. It also says, I am yours. The Lord Jesus in our baptism says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so when you are tempted to disobey Christ or to treat some part of his instruction as a small thing, you say, I cannot do that. I am baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I belong to Jesus. I must trust in him. I must believe all that the scriptures teach. I must obey all that the scriptures command. But when you are discouraged and you feel weak and you feel attacked and you don't know how you are going to be able to do those things, you say, ah, but my baptism says, Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and earth, is with me always, even to the end of the age. And one day, Lord willing, you children are going to have children of your own. And perhaps even you boys may become elders or ministers of the gospel. And it is a frightening thing to try and train other people to observe all that Jesus has commanded. And so in a very special way, as he said to his disciples here, and as he says to us for our own sanctification, he says to those who are disciplers that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. What an encouragement and comfort. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. You have the name that is above all other names, and we confess you now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we confess that we belong to you. We thank you for bringing us to be marked off by your ordained servants, even by you from heaven, as those who belong to you in baptism. We thank you for signing and sealing and pressing upon us the truth that you belong to us, that you do that by means of our baptisms. And we pray that in reminding and sealing unto us that we belong to you and that you belong to us, you would enable us indeed to observe all that you have commanded us, that we would be your disciples, that we would be living stones with whom, from whom, using whom you are building your church, against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. I pray, Lord, for my children here, my wife, myself, that you would use even this time in considering your word as part of your shaping us and equipping us living stones, that we might be built up together with the rest of the living stones of your house upon yourself, our Lord, who are our only foundation, our chief cornerstone. For we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen.